Well, perhaps you've heard the phrase, every generation, well, they're going to blame the one before. Or perhaps Billy Joel said it best when he said, we didn't start the fire. Nonetheless, every generation has their unique characteristics. But one generation that seems to be getting a lot of interest these days, well, it's those Gen Zers. I myself know they are a unique group of young people, well, because I've raised and raising four of my own. Well, I ran across a wonderful article in Catholic World Report. It's written by Ben Erickson about Gen Zs and kind of their complex makeup and kind of why do they do the things that they do. The article is in Catholic World Report. Ben is joining me today. Ben is a senior writer with Word of Life series and also a contributor to Catholic World Report. Happens to also be a doctoral candidate for Catholic University of America, joining me today. Good morning, Ben. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here and an honor.
Well, like I said, I really honed into your article when I saw it because, boy, as parents, even grandparents who have Gen Zers in their life, we really go, oh, this generation, boy, they have no idea. But maybe I really think it's the rest of us that have really no idea. And so you wrote this wonderful piece, and it is a series. You've been gracious enough to talk to us about it, and we're going to talk continually over the next, well, several months as these pieces come out. So, Ben, first tell us, why are you focusing on, well, these Gen Zers?
Yeah. Well, there's both a personal and a professional reason. You know, personally, I've worked with a lot of Gen Z youth. I was a martial art instructor for years. I've taught in high schools and in colleges. So these are a lot of people that I've taught over several years. And I'm really, you know, I love this generation. I love these young people. And I had kind of a sense of some of the things that they were already struggling with. And then I was started to conduct this research on a professional level because in my work for Word of Life, we're starting to develop a middle school curriculum. And so to understand how to develop that curriculum well, we wanted to understand, you know, the generation that we're trying to market this towards. And so in that research, I came across a lot of these statistics and a lot of research from various organizations. And I realized that some of the things I had learned personally, it could also be verified in data. And some of the concerns and things that this generation is struggling with are even more significant and more complex than I originally thought. And so that's what, you know, I've kind of done some of this research even more in my personal time. And it's led to not only helping Word of Life, but then also being published in CWR.
Well, it is a great article. I encourage all of our listeners to check it out. We are covering Generation Z. Ben, you call them the loneliest generation. So let's first go over about who these Gen Zers are. What's their age group? What's some of the characteristics that have affected the way their outlook is on life?
Yeah, so this generation, I mean, when defining generation is always hard. But in general, this is about those children born between 1997 and about 2012. So this is about, you know, the youngest around 11 to about age 25. So a lot of these that are basically either just coming into adulthood or are approaching adulthood. They, you know, are in our middle schools and our lower schools and our high schools and even in our colleges now. So it's really the young people of this, the present.
What are their characteristics? They are a group of people who they were not, or maybe they don't remember. Some may have been alive for 9/11, but they really don't remember it. But their lives definitely have been shaped in the aftermath of it. Kind of what are some of the other things that they've had? I believe, well, all of them have probably been raised with a phone in their hand.
Yes. Yeah. So I talk about how different this generation is. Obviously, the technology plays a huge part into it. You know, millennials still remember a time when there wasn't the internet. A lot of these kids, you know, don't remember a time without the internet or don't remember a time without, you know, smartphones, all these touchscreens. So a lot of people talk about the technology age. Obviously, there's also a lot of the effects in the early 2000s that I think had a greater societal impact than I originally realized, and that also then affected the upbringing of this generation. So obviously, everybody thinks of 9/11, but there's a lot of things, also things like Hurricane Katrina and a lot of other factors that played into really the distrust in institutions, the loneliness and a loss of confidence in organized religion, all of these topics that I end up covering in the series itself.
Well, it is a series that you can find in Catholic World Report. It's author Ben Erickson joining me today. So we are all a product of our upbringing, and I think that, you know, I think of myself as a Gen Xer. Well, I've raised Gen Zs. Is our outlook on life, meaning that I remember my thinking about the world in a pre-9/11. Yeah. And then, yeah. Well, things definitely changed in a post-9/11. My ability to go out into the street and play is not something that I let my children do. It was planned dates. It was fear-based sometimes. I mean, all of those things contribute to their idea of being lonely and maybe isolated. What are some of the other characteristics that they feel by being maybe isolated from things that we were all exposed to at a certain age?
Well, of course, there's, you know, COVID shaped them a lot in that loneliness, but there's also a great lack of safety. You see that a lot with this generation. And I think initially, some people are like, oh, no, the snowflakes, they're so sensitive. But when you realize that they grew up under the shadow of 9/11, where, the Trade Center towers fell. And then you also kind of get into the sense of now there's a pandemic that was in their really formative years, many of them in high school, some of them in college or grade school. So that obviously contributes to that fear. And there's a great need for safety. And that, you know, that's a really conscious desire that this generation has. And really, when approaching them, you kind of have to start with them, making them feel safe and appreciated to some degree before kind of, you know, then going forward and evangelizing them in the case of the Christian Catholic worldview or just to teaching them in general.
Well, Ben, definitely my Catholic worldview, the longevity of my parents' marriage, the longevity of their parents' marriage. I mean, I had two parents in a household that, to my sometimes dismay, focused a lot of their time and attention to making sure I was on the straight and narrow. But the United States, our outlook on marriage and the number of single parent household that children are raising in, unfortunately, we're top of the world when that comes to especially this generation's and their effect. They don't necessarily have the mentors at home, so they go elsewhere to find those mentors. And a lot of times they're not in the church either. Kind of build on that thought for me.
Yeah. So when we're talking about the loneliest generation, in the first article, I talk about, okay, this is a statistically extremely lonely generation. Just for context, you have really, there is about in 2018, there is actually a study by Cigna. So we talked about the loneliest generation. And in 2018, Cigna did a study. So they're an insurance company and they partners with Ipsos and they surveyed about 20,000 people. And they came up and said, oh my gosh, this is the loneliest generation. And they did this through a questionnaire. And that was kind of the first study. And then further studies came out. So in December 2021, there was a survey by the Survey Center in American Life. And they said that 56% of Gen Z felt lonely at least once or twice a month in their childhood. And this is like a 32-point increase when you're looking at the baby boomer generation. So it's statistically lonely. And obviously, we talked about technology being a problem. But you just mentioned another one, which is the loss of adults. And really, that's where I think there's a shift in my mindset. You know, when we talked about the loneliest generation, I previously always attributed it to technology. And certainly that's a major factor. I don't want to minimize that, but the loss of adults. So just to mention some of them, when you have 23% of children under the age of 18 in the United States are living in single parent households. This is, so that's basically a fourth of all children in the United States live only with one parent. This is three times the worldwide average. So when you start looking at statistics like that, where there's high rates of a divorce, high rate of single parent households, there's a lot of loss of those adult figures. And there's a loss of, the divorce rate has also increased the destruction of the nuclear family. And obviously that's contributing to a lot of the other societal issues we're having now too.
Well, Ben, there is a lot there that you just talked about, and I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about them, but I am coming up against my break. Can you please stay with me through the break so we can talk more about your articles?
For sure.
I am back this morning with Ben Erickson. Ben is joining me as a contributor to Catholic World Report. He is also a senior writer for the Word of Life series. Ben is bringing forward an amazing series of articles, on the loneliest generations. And perhaps if you're like me, you might be raising them in your own home right now. Those are those Generation Zs. Ben, thank you so much for staying with me today. Thank you for bringing to light this group of people that maybe get a lot of blame that they're not really responsible for.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. It's been really great. I know we were previously talking about the loneliest generation. And I think, they kind of also call this generation the I generation and the internet. But I think One of the things that makes me sad is especially as a teacher, is the loss of adult figures. And so, you know, we could talk about the parents, and we've already kind of touched on that topic before, the single parent households, the divorce rate. But also when the, so Springtide Research is actually where I get a lot of this data from. So they're a research institute, and they've come up with a lot of data, and they kind of have this goal of focusing on Gen Z and really speaking on their behalf, right? You know, giving them a voice that they may not have had previously. And that research I came across, and it's been really enlightening. And some of the data is really sad to me. So for example, you know, 27% of this generation feel like they have no adults to turn to in a time of need. And then you talk about that with Catholics. So they also focused on Catholics in particular. And one in five Catholics say that they don't have, they only have one adult or fewer in a time of need. So it's really, you know, there's a lack of adult influence, a lack of adult support in this generation, which is really sad, obviously due to the loss of parents, but due to a lot of other institutions and organizations not reaching out too.
Well, Ben, you know, just hearing this, I think it makes parents, people like me, very sad. And divorce is a real thing. And I know for those parents, that's not what they ever intended for their children either. So
Of
it
course.
just means that all the more parents need to be there for their children, whether they're, you know, in the same household or in their different households. It's important to that children know that they can rely. So if they can't don't have an adult to turn to, is there studies that tell us, well, where they are going for influence?
So there's obviously the internet they're going to for influence in particular, but they're also turning to their friends. They're turning to obviously teachers. But one area that I found very interesting is they're not turning to religious people. So for example, in the Springtide research, only 6% of them are actually reaching out to religious in a time of need. And so there is kind of like, okay, so the teachers are kind of stepping up that role. Obviously friends are there for them, but it seems as though there's not that religious outreach that used to be there. In a time of need, you would hope that they would go to a caring pastor or a caring nun that's a teacher or whatever. But in some cases, that's not. And so it's a lot of the internet and a lot of their friends that they're going to for that support network.
Well, it makes it all the more important evermore that we seek out to understand this generation and to do our best to ensure that, well, they have the best possible outcome and that their faith is gained, restored, and really kind of helped through all of this. It's a great article. Your first article we're talking about, really an umbrella of everything that we're going to be talking about. Tell us more about your series and some of the other things that we're going to learn about.
Yeah, so the first article talking about loneliness is just the first of that series. And it's a six-part series of six articles in total. The first four are really to identify what are some of the struggles and concerns of this generation. What are they uniquely struggling with? So the first one's going is on loneliness. The second one just came out recently. It's on the loss of confidence in institutions, the loss of confidence in organized religion. The third one is going to be really discussing religion and the affiliation, unaffiliation with this generation. And really, the research that I found surprised me because it's not clear cut. So that's the third article. The fourth article is really discussing why this generation feels that they're not flourishing, and in particular, some of the benefits that help them flourish. Like, what do they see help them flourish? And so that kind of like assesses the concerns, or the, if you want to call them problems. But then the last two are really, okay, so what are some of the solutions? How can we help this generation now? It's not enough just to identify the problems. We have to be there for them as, you know, young people who love them and adults who love them. And so I think that the fifth article is going to be on what's called a relational authority. This is a term that Springtide Research Institute has coined. Really, what, well, how do you engage with this generation in a meaningful and productive way as an adult? And then the last article is really, this is also based a lot on my own experience, but it's how to find common ground with this generation. Because I think a lot of adults feel as though there's an inability or a problem to connect given the various upbringings that this generation has had. And so it's how to find that common ground and then what things to discuss to kind of encourage them to come to a greater understanding of the truth, a greater understanding of themselves, and ultimately a greater understanding of God.
Oh, I think that's so important to definitely identify the problem and what is the solution, because this is a generation that, Oh, that is not written off yet. Life is long, and there are so many lessons to be learned for all of us, for sure. Ben, we're coming out of this pandemic, and I've even read information that says there's even a subset within this generation that's that COVID generation. Now, two of my middle daughters, one, her senior year ended with COVID shutdown. No graduation, no prom, none of those kind of pomp and circumstance things that kind of impact a young person. Well, the next daughter, well, she started out her senior year with the same thing. All of those homecoming events, those social events that really form who they are, help them form kind of their future decision and goals, only to end in a year with faces masked and just really an uncertainty of what the future holds for them. Is the impact that COVID has on our children, we know it's there, but is it fully realized in this particular generation?
I think it is fully realized in many situations. And the series of articles doesn't focus particularly on COVID, but I've done a lot of research still on COVID and the impact on this generation. And really what I found is that COVID has almost exacerbated all of the problems this generation was already struggling with. So for example, you're talking about a generation who was already struggling with isolation and feeling alone. Well, obviously that's been exaggerated now with COVID. So now, for example, 38% of young Catholics say that no one outside of their home reached out to them to see if they were right during the pandemic. You know, so that's a large percentage of people who didn't feel like they were reached out to. There's also, in the second hour, we talk about loss of trust. And so you have 57% of young people, Gen Z, say it'll time to rebuild that trust, right? Based on really the government's response to some of this. So you have 59% of young Catholics don't feel like the government did the best to protect people during the pandemic. So there's a loss of trust in the institutions. There's greater isolation. Obviously, COVID has had a huge impact on religion. The saddest thing to me was that a lot of people didn't feel like, or young people didn't feel like that religion reached out to them at this time. There was a marked increase in interest in religion. Obviously, going through hard times usually encourages that. Yet there wasn't also an increase in, as you're home, having your pastor, having your youth minister or whatever reach out to you. And so there's a decrease in religion as well. So a lot of the issues that this generation was already facing with has just gotten worse because of the pandemic. And that just makes it all the more urgent to reach out to them and try to find solutions to the issues and the struggles that this generation is really suffering under.
Well, Ben, again, the series of articles is outstanding. We look forward. We are going to have a continual conversation as each one of these come out. We're going to focus on many of those topics that we talked about here initially. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And again, that is Ben Erickson. Now, the series of articles are appearing in Catholic World Report. I will be sure to add a link to where you can get right to that first article. Read it for yourself, because there's so much more information there than what we could cover today. And you're going to find that link on the podcast of this interview at materdeiradio.com and, of course, the Hail Mary media app.